Good morning. This week's sedra is Parashat Vayechi. We finish Sefer Bereshit. And since we're finishing Sefer Bereshit, I really want to finish the Sefer with you and take you to a number of psukim, or for that matter, one pasuk alone, that when I came to it, at the end of the sedra, it sort of triggered all sorts of ideas and all sorts of associations. Now, despite anything you may harbor, thoughts that you may harbor in your mind, that the shiur that I'm about to give is a political statement, forget about it. I am here only to discuss Torah. Now, if by the way you get certain ideas, I'm not responsible for that. But I think that there's something that has to be made very clear, because there's a tremendous amount of confusion. And I don't want my students to be confused. Now, of all things, as I was working on this, there was a lot of work put into putting these sheets together. One, as you see, is a sheet that has two maps, one on each side. The map that we will begin with is this side. This side is the one you should hold with yourself first. And maybe I'll get you all, you know, all excited, like, what in heaven's name does all of this have to do with Parashat Vayechi? The map, by the way, is a map of Eretz Yisrael. That is a map of Eretz Yisrael. Now, I've written in and underlined a number of things, but we will study this map a little bit more closely. And then the other side is really a close-up of one section of the map that we will discuss a little further on in the shiur. Now, as I was putting together all of the sources, just before I'm ready to run off the last sheet, it suddenly strikes me that the pasuk on which all of this is based, I didn't put on the sheet. So that appears as number 11. If you'll take the other sheet that you have in front of you and turn over to the second side, you'll see number 11 on the left-hand side. Sof Bereshit. How do you like that? It was at the last moment that I put in the end of Bereshit. Vayar Yosef le'Ephraim b'nei Shileshim. Yosef saw to Ephraim three generations, really. B'nei Shileshim, it can even mean grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Gam b'nei Machir ben Menashe. Yul du al birkei Yosef. Even the children of Machir, the son of Menashe. So here we are certainly talking about great-grandchildren. Ephraim, Menashe is his son. Machir is the son of Menashe. The children of Menashe are therefore his great-grandchildren, were born al birkei Yosef, on the lap of Yosef. Vayomer Yosef said on El Echo to his brothers, Anochi Meit, I'm going to die. Ve'elukim pakod yifkod etchem, and God will remember you. Ve'ehela etchem in ha'aretz hazot, and he's going to bring you up out of this land. El ha'aretz asher nishbal Avram liyitzuk liyakov, to the land that he swore to give to Avram, Yitzuk, and Yaakov. Vayash by Yosef et b'nei Yisrael lemar. Yosef administered an oath to the children of Israel, saying, pakod yifkod elukim etchem, God is going to remember you. Ve'ha'alitem et atzmotai mizeh, you should take my bones up from here. Vayomat Yosef ben Me'ev Ezer Shonim, and Yosef died at the age of 110. Vayachamtu oto vayisem v'orong b'mitzrayim, and they embalmed him, and he was placed in a casket in Mitzrayim. That's the end of Sefer Bereshit. It's the first pasuk that concerns me. Vayar Yosef l'Ephraim b'nei Shileshim gam b'nei Machir ben Menashe. Now, who was Machir? What was so important about Machir ben Menashe that he is mentioned here? So I want to take you to a number of other places where Machir, the son of Menashe, appears. And I think the plot will begin to thicken. On the same side that we're on right now, we're going to take a number of texts, and following the texts, we're going to analyze them. On the same side as Sof Bereshit, we also have number 6, the end of Parashat Chukat, which is in Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, and also the end of Parashat Matot, which comes later on in Sefer Bamidbar. And then we're going to have section, two sections from Devarim. All right. Number six, Sof Parshat Chukat. Vayifnu vayalu derech haboshon. Vayetze og melech haboshon lekratam hu v'chol amol amilchama edrei. I will tell you what precedes this. In Parshat Chukat, it is the first time that the people of Israel, after their 40-year journey through the desert, it is the first time that they come in contact with the nations of the world. The first one that they come in contact with as they're coming up from the Sinai Desert, and they are on the other side of the Yam HaMelach, the other side of the Yarden. They come to Edom in the south, and they ask permission from Edom, please let us go through your land. We won't take anything, we won't touch anything. If we buy food or drink, we'll pay for it. And Edom says no, and prepares for war, and God tells the Jewish people, no, you're going to go around Edom. And then they come to Ammon and Moab, and ultimately to Sichon, the king of Cheshbon. And they ask him, let us go through. Sichon already is further north, you're going to see, we'll see all of that on the map. And they want to cross from there into Eretz Yisrael. Sichon goes out to war, and the Jewish people destroy him utterly, and they take over the land of Sichon Melech HaEmori. We'll see what land that is. After all of that is over, the struggle against Sichon is over, come these psukim. They turned, and they went up Derech HaBashan, in the direction of the Boshan. Now when it says Vayifnu Vayalu, that means clearly this is a war that Moshe intends and wants to wage. The war against Sichon, king of the Amori, may very well have been unintended. All we wanted to do was we want to get to Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to let us go through that, and you come up to war against us. So what can we do? Now, the war against Sichon may have been understood as a defensive war, but when it says Vayifnu, they turned and Vayalu. In other words, Og, king of Bashan, is not standing in their way to get into Eretz Yisrael. In order to wage war with Og, king of Bashan, it has to be something that is premeditated, it's planned, and the initiative is taken by the Jewish people. Because you don't just bump into Og, king of Bashan. Because you know where the Bashan is, we'll let you in on the secret. The Golan. And maybe I'll tell you what the purpose of the whole shir is. When a member of Knesset from a religious party was quoted in the paper last week as saying that even though the Golan is not part of biblical Eretz Israel, but it is terribly important for the security of the state of Israel. Is there mention of Amoritz Gomor? That's the point that I want to make. Is it Amoritz Gomor? Doesn't have a clue. Or when Peres and others have referred to Ramat HaGolan as HaRama HaSurit, the Syrian Heights, you should know that this is ignorance of psukim in Torah, and there's a whole fascinating discussion of the Golan, and we're going to try and do as much of it as we can right here. What does it have to do with Parshat Vayechid? So you're going to see right away. You know who conquers the Bashan? Who is settled in the Bashan? The children of Yosef, Menashe, Machir, Gilad. This child who is singled out at the end of Sefer Bereshit, he is the one who is going to conquer the Golan. Now watch. And you're going to see that there is simply a common mistake that is made, and people become confused, but we're going to always confuse you. You're going to be unconfusable after we're finished here. Now let's go further. Now you see that I'm pointing out number one. The war against Sichon could have been understood as a war that we really didn't want, but we have to go through Sichon in order to get to Eretz Yisrael. Sichon doesn't let us. He comes out to wage war with us. So we have no choice. So we destroy him. But Vayifnu Vayalu, number six we're reading, Vayifnu Vayalu, they turned and they went up, Derech HaBoshon, Vayetze Og, Melech HaBoshon, Likvatam, Hu V'cholamo, La Milchama Edrei Og, the king of Boshon went out toward them, he with all of his people, to wage war at Edrei. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, God said to Moshe, Al Tira Oto. This is where Hashem says to Moshe, don't be afraid of him. Ki B'yadcha Natati Oto V'cholamo, because in his hands I have given... In your hands I have given him and all of his people that are so in his land. Do to him what you did to Sichon, king of the Amori, who lives in Cheshbon. They smote him, his people and all of his nation, until nothing remained. And he inherited his land. Now, these are words, if I'm not mistaken, don't appear by Sichon, but by Og, king of the Bashan. God in advance says, I've given them into your hands, you will inherit his land, and they inherited his land. The children of Israel journeyed, and they encamped on the plains of Moab. And we're going to see precisely where that is. Okay? Number seven. So, Parshat Matot, we have to get the basic information. By the way, to truly understand any pasuk in Torah, you have to know a lot of other pesukim. And watch, we'll show you. Vayelchu b'nei Machir ben Menashe. This is the end of Parshat Matot. The children of Machir, the son of Menashe, went Gil'adah to Gil'ad. Vayukiduha, and they conquered her. Vayoresh et Amodi Yashepa, and he cast out the Amodi who were in her. Now, I want you to understand in advance we're going to be differentiating between Bashan equals Golan, the Golan in the Bashan. Immediately below the Golan is Gilad, and below that, further down, will come the land of Sichon, which is going to be given as an inheritance to the tribes of Reuven and Gad. Now, if it all seems confusing to you now, it will not be so by the end of this year. Vayelchu, the sons of Machir, who raised them? On whose lap were they born? Yosef. The children of Machir, the son of Menashe, went to Gilad, Vayelchidu, and they conquered her. Vayoresh et Amori Yeshebon, and they cast out, and he cast out the Amori that were there. Moshe gave Gilad to Machir, the son of Menashe, and he lived there. Why did Machir, the children of Machir, the son of Menashe, why did they go out on this adventure of their own? It seems like this is not a conquest of the Jewish people. It's not the people of Israel go out to conquer Gilad. The sons of Machir, the son of Menashe, the son of Yosef, go out to conquer Gilad. I don't think, you know, like some kind of a private side expedition. It doesn't seem as though this is an expedition in which all of Israel takes place. Now, V'Yoyer ben Menashe, Halach v'Yilkod et Chavotei, Yoyer, the son of Menashe, went and he captured the plantations of Gilad. Vayikra et hen, and he called them Chavot Yair, the plantations of Yair. V'Novach Halach, Novach is also one of the children of Menashe. He went and he conquered Knat ve'et benoteha. Vayikra lo Novach b'shmo, and he called it Novach in his name. Okay. And number eight. Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Adim. This is in Parshat Ve'etchanan, and it tells us that Moshe, toward the end of his life, he separates and sets aside the three cities of refuge. The halacha is that if a person kills unintentionally, he has to flee to a city of refuge. So there are three on one side of the Jordan, three on the other side of the Jordan, and Moshe, before he dies, designates the three cities on the east side of the Jordan. Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Adim. Moshe set aside three cities, Be'ever HaYarden Mizrocha Shemesh, on the other side of the Yarden, to the east, we're going to have to talk about an East Bank and a West Bank, because the Torah talks about an East Bank and a West Bank. So that a murderer murders Asher Yitz. What kind of a murderer? Asher Yitzachet, who's going to murder his friend unintentionally. He doesn't hate him from yesterday or the day before. There's no hatred. It was all a terrible, terrible accident. He should run to flee to one of these cities and he will live. What are the three cities that you set aside? At Betzer Bamidbar, Betzer in the desert, Beheretz Hamishor La Ruveni, in the land of the plain where Ruven is, Vet Ramot Begilad Lagadi, Ramot in Gilad, that is part of Shevet Gad, Vet Golan Babashan Lamanashi. And Golan Babashan Lamanashi. Now, we see another thing. We see that the tribe of God is also in Gilad. But remember, Machir, the son of Menashe, the children of Machir, the son of Menashe, also conquered Gilad, which means, we make it a little bit more confusing for you now, there's northern Gilad and there's southern Gilad. Northern Gilad was taken by the children of, the grandchildren of Yosef, the children of Menashe, grandchildren of Menashe, which means the following. If you will, there are three sections from the Golan Heights, which I'm going to describe it in one way now, but I'm going to describe it later in a completely different way. You know what? Take a look at your maps. Why should I? This side of the map. Now watch. I wrote in over there the word Hayarden. You see the word Hayarden on the line? And there's an arrow going from there that takes you to the Yarden. And I made the Yarden even a little darker. You won't notice it, but all right. Down below is the Yam HaMelech. And the black round thing at the top is the Kinneret. Okay? The mighty Kinneret, you understand. All of our water has to come from the Kinneret. Okay. Right? Now the... I've underlined at the top the Bashan. That's really that's the Golan. Now, below the Bashan, if you'll see where I underlined Hayarden, follow the line of Hayarden where it crosses another line. There, in a semicircle, you'll see Hagilad. Did I give you good directions? You see Hagilad. Okay. Yarden? This is the... That means like this. There's the Bashan, the Golan at the top, Gilad, and Gilad is divided into two parts. There's the northern Gilad and there's a southern Gilad. And then there's the area below it, near Yericho. I put a circle around Yericho right at the top of the Yam HaMelech. You see the top of the Yam HaMelech? Okay, how are we doing over here? Everybody doing well? Okay, good. Now, immediately to the right of Yericho is the Eber Hayarden where the tribe of Reuven was. You see Cheshbon? That was the land of Sichon. And then there's Chabad B'nei Amon, all of these cities. That's where Jews crossed from the east. They crossed to the west bank. Yarden, Yericho was... Okay. Right? Let me say this. Well, I had also told you, I would tell you later on, if you look over here, far, it says Edom, this is the first place they came to, and Edom wouldn't let them come in, so they went all around and came to the east, here to Sichon and Og. Now, I don't know what, all of a sudden what comes to mind right now, a few summers ago, my son was working in the mountains. No, the mountains. When we say the mountains, doesn't mean the Golan. Or the Hermon. Yeah, Hakatzkalim. And he was doing something. A favor. He was delivering some stuff, and he had a T-shirt that said Ha'am Im HaGolan. and he comes to some Hasidisha place over there, and he delivers the stuff, and this fellow turns to me and said, listen to the gulen. Listen to the gulen. My son was, you know, it's, you live over there where you know all about Ferndale and Liberty and Monroe, Elton, and the Lucky Dip in Woodburn, you understand, Matzah Shabbos, you know everything. Oh, but the gulen, the Weisfish was the gulen is, nebuch, nebuch, nebuch. The purpose of this year is that you should all know precisely what the gulen is all about. Now, chapter 32 in Sefer Bamidbar. I'm just going to tell you what the chapter says. The sons of Gad and Reuven approach Moshe, and they tell Moshe, this is after the conquest. After the conquest of the East Bank, they say to Moshe, the land that we have conquered is grazing land, and we have cattle. Now Moshe, of course, is supposed to understand from this. I remember in the shir how he described it, like, Moshe, you get it, Moshe? You get the picture, you know? Grazing land, and we have cattle. The fact is that they're embarrassed to say, you know, we have cattle, and we want to stay here. They want Moshe to relieve them of the pain of having to ask to stay here. Anyway, Moshe puts them through an extremely, extremely difficult time. And they make the terrible statement when he finally forces them to say what it is that's on their mind, that we're going to build corrals for our sheep here and houses for our children. And Moshe gets upset with that. You understand, you know, corrals come before before houses. Well, I mean, what are you talking about? You have to have your order of priorities correct. Anyway, it's a long discussion, a number of shurim we've said on that. The end of the story is that Moshe makes a deal with the sons of Reuven and Gad, that yes, your families, your children will be able to remain here. You are going to cross the Jordan together with your brothers and go out to war. There's the famous sentence, the famous statement of Moshe. Your brothers are going to go out to war. You're going to remain here. What are you talking about? You have to share in the burden and the responsibility of Klal Yisrael. Anyway, the agreement that's made is that they're going to cross the Jordan. They're going to fight, and after the land is conquered, they're going to go back to their homes. This all takes place in Parshas Matot, and all of a sudden, at the end of the parsha, out of the clear blue sky, it says that Moshe gave the land of Sichon to Reuven and Gad, and then a factor that had nothing to do with the whole parsha, they described the land that was given to half the tribe of Menasheh. Half the tribe of Menasheh were not involved in the negotiations. They never asked to stay on the other side of the Yarden. And all of a sudden, Chatzi Shevet Menasheh appears in the Torah. And the land that's given to them is described. And the land that's given to them is the northern part of this piece of land, going up to the Hermon and beyond. Why did this happen? What's the half a tribe of Menasheh doing? All right, now, so it's lishmor al hakesher. As lama chatzi shevet Menasheh v'lo chatzi shevet Yisachar or chatzi shevet Dan? Zeh nachnu tzichim lashir. That we'll be able to answer that only because of this week's parshas Vayechi. So it's very good that you asked the question. She was asking, well, you know, she was saying, Marco was saying that Moshe didn't want to leave two tribes alone on the other side of the Jordan, in a sense, distant from the body of the Jewish people. So what he devised was the following plan. If you can find one tribe whom he will divide in half, and half of them will be on one side and half on the other side, that means there will be continual contact between the two sides. And most probably that's when they began, You're going to Ever Hayarden? Oh, I have mail. You want to take mail? Bring me tuna from there. You know, like there's a whole kasher between both sides of the Yarden. But what's going to be? It's good, but it's going to become much more fascinating than that. All right. On the left, on the right hand side, on the right hand side, just follow me. You see this long section on the right? On the right hand side. It's unbelievable. I don't know what's going to do with me. That long section. You know, should I read it all? What should I do? You know what? We're not going to start from there. You'll see on the right hand side there's a gimel. That's chapter 3 in Sefer Devarim. And you'll see how it fits in with Sefer Bamidbar. Vanefen, you got it? Vanefen, vanal, derech Havoshan. We turned and went up in the direction of the Bashan. Isn't that what we said in the first pasuk in number 6? Vayifnu, vayalu, derech Havoshan. All right? So here now Moshe, a few months later, is telling the story over to the Jewish people, and he says, Vanefen, vanal, derech Havoshan. We turned and we went up through the Bashan. Vayetze, og melech Havoshan, lekratenu, and oh, king of the Bashan came out with us. He and all of his people to wage war at Edrei. In other words, in Parashat Chukat on the other side of Yoshi, on the left hand side, there we have the story as it happens. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is retelling the story to the Jewish people. God said to me, don't be afraid, because in your hands I've given him the kolam on all of his people, that arts on his land, you should do him as you did to Sichon, the king of the Amoriah, Yoshe the Cheshbon, who lives in Cheshbon. Then when God gave into our hands Gamis Og Melech HaBoshon, that kolam Og, the king of Boshon, and all of his people, and we smote him until we left no remnant. And we captured all of the cities at that time. There wasn't a single city that we didn't take from them. 60 cities called Hevel Argov. The whole part of the land that's called Argov. Mamlechet Og Bashan. The kingdom of Og in the Bashan. Remember, Bashan is the whole area that we now know as the Golan. A little bit more to the north, and a little bit more to the south. That's the Bashan. Okay? Kol eile orin b'tzurot chomar givohad latayim u'b'riach levad me'oreat rozi harbeniot. All of these were cities fortified with walls, high walls, with gates and blocks, aside from oreat rozi harbeniot, aside from many cities that were open cities without walls. We destroyed them. Just as we had done to Sichon, the king of Cheshbon, we destroyed every city with people, men, women, and children. And all of the animals, and that which belonged in the cities, we took unto ourselves. And we took the land from the two kings of the Amori, Ashebeir Yaden, from Nachal Arnon ad Har Hermon, from Nachal Arnon until the Hermon. Sidonim, the Lebanese call Hermon Sirion, for Ha'emodi Yikru Ulo Sinir. The Hermon has a number of names, and Rashi points out that everybody wanted a share in the Hermon. Everybody gave names to the Hermon. It was an extremely important place. Call Ore Hamishor, all the cities of the plain, the Chol HaGilad, the Chol HaBashan, the whole Gilad, the whole Bashan, at Salcho Ve'edrei, Ore Mamlechet Og Bashan, the cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. You understand, the Torah is being so extremely precise and specific, you can't make a mistake. Because only Og Melech HaBashan remained, Miyeter HaRafaim, from the giants of old. And they describe his big bed that is in Rabat Bnei Amon, 9 amo in length, 4 amo in width, that are Oretz Hazot Yerashnu, and that land we inherited at that time from Aroer Asher Al Nachal Arnon, the Chatzi Har HaGilad V'Arav, half of the Gilad. Natati la Ruveni velagodi. That means the land of Sichon and half of the Gilad I gave to Ruveni and Gadi. V'yeter ha-Gilad, the rest of the Gilad, I had been talking to you earlier about the northern Gilad, that we're going to divide the Gilad into a northern and a southern. The northern borders on the Bashan, on the Golan. V'yeter ha-Gilad v'chol ha-Bashan, Mamlechet Og, the kingdom of Og, I gave to half the tribe of Menashe. Now do you see that Reuven and Gad are put, are lumped together. Half a tribe of Manasseh is written separately. If he wants to describe what he gave to the two and a half tribes, he could have told us what I gave to Reuven and what I gave to Gad and what I gave to half tribe of Manasseh. But that's not the way Moshe Rabbeinu does it. He tells us, lumps together what he gave to Reuven and Gad, because Reuven and Gad are in a class by themselves, and the half tribe of Manasseh is a completely different story. And how different the story is, that's what we're going to talk about. I mean, I keep telling you what we're going to talk about, and half the shiur is over. But all right, don't give up. And I gave to half the tribe of Menashe all of Argov, the whole Bashan, and it's Rephaim. Yair ben Menashe, Yair the son of Menashe, took Kol Hevel Argov, Ad Dvul HaGishudi V'Hamachati, V'Kora Otam Al Shmo Et HaBashan Chavot Yair. The Gishuri and the Marachati are northern east bank, and he called them Chavot Yair HaYizmeh LeMachir. Our connection to the Pasek, to Parsha Bayichid, to Machir, I gave the Gilad. V'larov Veini V'laGadi Natati Min HaGilad Av Nachal Arnon. What he's doing now is the following: he started with Reuven and Gad, who went to Menashe, and then from Menashe he's describing in descending order from the north to the south. I gave the Bashan to Menashe, Gilad to Machir and Yair, and then below that I gave the land to Reuven and Gad. Okay, that's it. Now turn over to the other side. One of the areas of confusion One of the main areas of confusion, I would say, is the following. And there are two parts to this confusion. Confusion number one is the following. We have this feeling, and remember, I'm talking in halacha. We have this feeling that there's a difference between the west side of the Jordan and the east side of the Jordan, to the point that we may even sometimes make the mistake of thinking that the east side of the Jordan is not biblical Eretz Yisrael. So let me tell you, that's wrong. Both the east bank and the west bank, both sides, are Eretz Yisrael. There are some halachic differences between the two. The halachic differences are, the most important one is that Mikdash, Mishkan, has to be on the west bank. It can't be on the east bank. And obviously the reason for this is because the Mikdash, the Mishkan, which ultimately of course is Yerushalayim, has to be in the center. And the center of this area is Yerushalayim. Can't have Mikdash or Mishkan in Cheshbon or in Rabat Bnei Amon, anyplace else. For that matter, it couldn't be in Tzvat or in Hebron. It has to be in the center, which means the other side of the Jordan is not a place of Mishkan. There are a number of other halachas. There's a Mishnah that says that Bikurim have to be brought from this side of the Yarden, not from the other. One of the reasons that's given for this is because this side of the Yarden is called Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. The other side is not called Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash. In terms of the halachas of Truma and Maisa, same thing, the other side of the Yarden, this side of the Yarden. In nearly everything, the two sides are equal. And ultimately, it really means that the other side of the Yarden is Eretz Yisrael, just like this side. But there are a number of differences. So we said one of the differences is Bikurim, first fruits. The other difference is Mikdash and Mishkan. Now, the next thing that we have to decide is the following. What precisely is called the other side of the Yarden? Now, wait, just watch, listen. In other words, if we talk about two sides of the Yarden, then we have to know what is called Yarden, so that we should know what's called Ivar Yarden. Now, if you think that that's a simple thing to describe, I mean, I'm going to make it simple. But it's not so poshut because a big mistake is made, and you'll see the mistake in a moment. The look at this map. You see that black line that I've made the Yarden, right? Is there a Yarden above the Kinneret? Where do we go? Where do we go in those rubber tires? What do you call them? Not the tires. The I'm not talking about kayaks. Tubes. There are people who go in tubes, and there are people who go in kayaks. Where do you do that? The Yarden. Where? By what? By the Chazban. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Where? North of the Kinneret or south of the Kinneret? North. By the Banyas. You know, all the way up there. We call that the Jordan. You'll see all of this. All of the signs tell you there's the Jordan and all of the places you go. So I want to point out something that's extremely important in halacha, and I'll show it to you in the Tosefta. The halachic Jordan, begins south of the Kinneret. That whole area above the Kinneret that we call the Yarden is not halachic Yarden. Now, the ramifications of this are awesome, and you'll see in a moment. But first, why, according to the halacha, the Gemara says, we're going to see a Gemara Masechta Bechorot that says Yarden is from Beit Yarech and south. Beit Yarech, trust me, is a place right below the Kinneret, which means the Gemara says that from below the Kinneret and further, that's called Yarden, as far as halacha is concerned. What about the whole section above the Kinneret? What about that? So the Gemara says, and Rashi explains it this way, that that's not called Yarden. You know why it's not called Yarden? Because in the area above the Yarden is a mixture of many waters. The Banyas, the Chatzbani, and all of the rest, they all come flowing together. From what point on and further is the Yarden? Is it Yodeid, and is it its own flow of water without any mixture into the Kinneret? From the Kinneret to the Yam HaMelech, that's Yarden. You understand? And as I say, Rashi points out, why is that only that called Yarden? Because that's when it is really Yarden. Up at the top, above the Kinneret, it's a mixture of so many different waters. Okay? Do you know what that means? Now, I'm going to let you in on everything, and then we'll prove everything afterwards. If that's so, then where do we have the minor or, well, the halachic differences between one side of the Yarden and the other? That begins from the Kinneret down. From the Kinneret and down, you can talk about one side of the Yarden and the other side of the Yarden. So how do we define the area above the Kinneret? If that's not Ivar HaYarden, what is it? What is the Gulam? What is the Gulam? You know what it is? It's Eretz Yisrael proper. It's part of the Galil. Is it next to the Galil? Uninterrupted from the Galil? That's the halachic status of the Golan. We always think in terms of, well, it's the other side of the Yarden. But according to halacha, there is no other side of the Yarden above the Kinneret. Two sides of the Yarden are only from the Kinneret and below. So take a look, now you look at the map. Is there anything that separates the Golan and the Galil? Just like the Galil is Eretz Yisrael, the Golan is Eretz Yisrael. It's not the Hamah HaSudit. It's not the Syrian Heights. Well, it's not as this religious member of Knesset said, it's a lair, it's slow, but it's important to security. He's an Amoritz. He's pushed in ignoramus. Doesn't know the halacha. And when I said earlier, I don't want to make a political statement, but the statement that has to be made over here is the following. If you're going to give up something, know what you're giving up. Don't tell me you're just giving away something that doesn't belong to us anyway. But I'm going to show you even more. I'm going to show you how long we have had a relationship with the Golan, and it's going to shake you.
Good. I'm telling you, I'm feeling so much better. I haven't been well the last few days, but now I'm getting to feel much better. Now take a look. Let's go back to our sheet. Wait, maybe it's down here. Okay. I want to. You'll see now, what I just told you now is number one on the sheet. You see, I wrote on the side what is called Yardane. We have clearly delineated what's called the Yardane in Halacha. And it's based on a Rashi in Masechet Bechorot, Daf Samach Hei on the base, I think. And I'll tell you what the Gemara there says. The Gemara there says the following. It's a Tosefta in Bechorot. I'll just read it. You don't have it on your sheet. Nohar Hayotzei, the river that goes out, Mimarat Pamayus. There's a. It's on it? Where? I don't. Oh! You see, I can't. I underlined it even. I'm getting so excited. That's Tosefta. Nohar Hayotzei Mimarat Pamayus. Pamayus is Banyas. You know, the pay and the bet. You know, the mem and the nun. And it goes through a pools of water that take it down to Tveri. In other words, ultimately it becomes the Kinneret. Even though the name is Yardane, this is a Tosefta. The Tanoim are writing this. This is 2,500 years ago. Even though it's called Yardane, it's not considered part of the Yardane. Ezehu Yardane, mi beit yirecho ulamato. From a place called Beit Yerecho and further. That means what the Tosefta is clearly saying is that that area where we talk and go kayaking, even though people call it Yardane, it even looks like the Yardane, it may even taste like the Yardane, but halakhically it's not Yardane. Where is Yardane? From Beit Yerecho and further. Now, the Mefarshim explain, and this is simple, I can explain it easily. You may think that Beit Yerecho is Yericho. It can't be Yericho, because if it would be Yericho, do you know what that would mean? If you look on the map, you'll see that from Yericho till the end of the Yardane, and we know it. How much area is there from Yericho to the end of the Yardane? 10 kilometers. From Yericho down to the end of the Yardane, the beginning of the Yarmulke is 10 kilometers. Are you going to tell me that the whole halacha of Yardane and Eber Yardane is a total of 10 kilometers? Nonsense! So therefore the Mefarshim explained that Beit Yerech or Beit Yerecho is a different place, right immediately south of the Kinneret, which means the Tosefta is making it very clear. The definition, the halakhic definition of Yardane is from the Kinneret down. This whole area, there's one side of the Yardane, the second side of the Yardane, the halakhic differences. So we've mentioned two of them. You can't have Migdash on the other side of the Yardane, and you can't bring Bikurim from the other side of the Yardane. There are other questions. But the area that is north of the Kinneret, even though it's called Yardane, is not Yardane halachically. So therefore we say, if it's not Yardane halachically, then what is it? It's part of Eretz Yisrael proper. So that I don't forget what I'm getting to. The point that I want to make is the following. The Meshech Chochma says, why out of the clear blue sky did Moshe Rabbeinu choose half the tribe of Menashe to be the ones that are going to be on the other side of the Yardane?
And what happens if what happens if that half tribe of Manasseh, who are supposed to be the Kesher, will say, we don't want to be on the other side of the Yarden. We never asked for it. We're not interested in it. I don't want to be second class. But if the area that's given to them is the Golan and the Bashan, which are part of Eretz Yisrael proper, so you know what happens? Macher and the children of Manasseh are able to be on what seems like the second side of the Yarden, so that they are in constant contact with Reuven and Gad. But halachically, do you know where they are? In Eretz Yisrael proper. Meshech Chochmah says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu choose Manasseh? And I'm going to add, why did he choose Manasseh to divide Manasseh in half? Because Manasseh comes from Yosef, and Yosef is an Ohev Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, the Medrash says about that discussion that took place between Moshe and Yosef, between Moshe and God. What did Yosef say over here at the end of the Bereishis? He administers an oath to his brothers that when you leave the Ha'alitim at that small time, he said, you should take my bones with you. So Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, after the Rebbeinu tells him that you cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, so he says, Atzmos Yosef nichnasim la'oretz v'ani eini nichnas. The bones of Yosef go into Eretz Yisrael, and I'm not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And God tells him that very difficult statement. He says to him, Yosef shehodeh ba'artzo, who openly demonstrated that this is his land, nigba ba'artzo, is buried in his land. You who are not will not be buried there. And the Medrash explains, because when the Sar HaMashkim, when the butler tells Paro that there is somebody who can interpret your dream, so he says, Nar Ivri, there was an Hebrew boy in the in jail with us. In other words, he wore his Hebrewness, his Jewishness on his sleeve. Yosef, the Chovesh Kippah, the one who wore a kippah and was with us in prison. But what did the daughters of Yitro say when they came to their father? Ish Mitzri. And Ish Mitzri saved us from the hands of the shepherds. That's one. So therefore it means the following. Meshech Chochmah says, why was somebody from the family of Yosef chosen? Because they wanted to have somebody there who is overflowing with Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it will filter down to Reuven and Gad. Not only will they maintain a kesher, not only will they maintain contact, but there's going to be an outpouring of Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. But couldn't Manasseh have turned to Moshe and said, Moshe, you know, you want us to live on the other side of the Yarden? We have no such intention whatsoever. You know what Moshe is really telling them? And this is the halacha. You're not on the other side of the Yarden halachically. You are part of greater Eretz Yisrael. The Golan and the Bashan is part of Eretz Yisrael. There are even some Achronim who say that part of the Golan may have been from the tribe of Naphtali. So there certainly is no question. But when you take a look at the map, you see that the Bashan, the Golan, and the Galil, it's all part of the same thing. Now, if I mention already Moshe Rabbeinu, when God tells him to go up to the top of the mountain, he's right around here. And God tells him, right near Yarden Yerecho, and the Rebbeinu tells him, look to the north, the east, the south, and the west. Now wait a minute. If he's standing at the Jordan, and the only thing that has the holiness of Eretz Yisrael is the west bank, so when the Rebbeinu shows him Eretz Yisrael, you know what he should have said to Moshe? Look westward, Moshe, and you will see the whole land. Oh, no, no, the Pasuk both in Pinchas and in Bet Chanan, and then at the end of Torah is very clear. Moshe Rabbeinu looks to all four sides. He looks to the east, the land of Reuven and Gad. He looks to the north, the land of Manasseh. He looks to the west, the other 9.5 tribes, because all of them ultimately are halachic Eretz Yisrael. All of them. Maybe the most fascinating thing, why indeed does it end up that it's Machir and Ya'ir, and from the family of Manasseh, And nobody asked this, but I think we're going to answer it now. Why not Ephraim? We'll divide Ephraim in half. If it has to be from the family of Yosef, that will be on one side, so take Ephraim. And if it has to be from the Nasha, then are there other families? And let's read number two. You see, what I write by number two, Menashe Ephraim, bound with the land, precedes the days of Yahushua. Ah, okay. Watch. Shifte Yosef for Yehuda. This is taken, some of these parts are taken from an article by Rav Yigal Ariel, who was Rav in the Golan. But this blew my mind. The tribes of Yosef in Yehuda, Hayukshurim el Nachatam Karmi Kidmat Dina. Yehuda and Yosef already had a bond with what was going to be their part of Eretz Yisrael long before Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. Yosef Zocha mi Yaakov. Now you're going to see a number of psukim in Parashat Vayechi that you would never have thought had anything to do with the inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef, this is a pasuk in Parashat Vayechi. Yosef was zocher to get from Yaakov the area of Shechem. Asher lokachti miyad v'emodi v'charbi u'bekashti. It's in this, in Parashat Vayechi. I'm giving you another portion in Eretz Yisrael, in the land that I took from the Amori with my sword and my bow. That Yehuda anumotzim, so they v'arei nachaloso. Back in Parashat Vayeshev, Yehuda, when he goes down from his brothers after the sale of Yosef, he's near a man from Adulam. He takes a wife from Chziv. He goes down to Timnah to shear the sheep. There are a lot of places that are mentioned in that parasha, the parasha of Yehuda and Tamar. And you know where all those cities are? All of those cities are later going to be part of the inheritance of Yehuda, which is obvious. It means that Yehuda already knew what ultimately was going to be his portion. Mistaber sheshnei hashvatim alalu. It seems that these two tribes, lo yutzlichim legodol, they didn't need the lots that were going to be drawn kidei latat et etzem ekoma shel nachalatam, the place of their nachala shehun chalalehem meyavutein, that they got from their fathers. Yeshnam remazim, especially in Devar Hayamim, lakach. Listen to this next line: sheshamru al keshem amashiim nachalatam gam bishnot hakalut b'mitzrayim. They kept contact with their land even when they were in Mitzrayim. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid in his Perush on Torah says the following. Avi HaYomochiach, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says about his father that his father proved from Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim shekolzman shehoyu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, the whole time that Jews were in Mitzrayim hayu lefamim holchim l'Eretz Yisrael al karka yavim avinu, there were people who got permission to leave the country and go take a look at the lands of Yaakov. Vahyubonim sham krakim, they built cities there. Vani savur, Rav Yudah Chassid says, it's not, you know, some 20th century Zionist, you understand. We're talking about Yudah Chassid 400 or 500 years ago. Shedav gizera Yosef hayosim. Do you know who are the ones that got permission to leave and tend to some of their business in Chutz Laretz? The children of Yosef. V'lehen hayar shut mi paro, they had permission from paro, ki machmat kvod Yosef, because of the honor of Yosef, paro noeg behem kvod, paro conducted himself with honor, l'takenu l'chazek et Yerushatan, to help them strengthen their inheritance, v'ayu moshivim behem diyodin u'podin lehen mas. They rented out, they had rented apartment houses in the, and you know where? A Talmud of Rav Sadia going in the next little paragraph says, do you know who these people that while they were still in Mitzrayim already had a piece of the rock? It was the children of Menashe, the ones who had the Gilad and the Bashan. Do you understand what that means? That means, therefore, that the Gulen is not simply the Ramah HaSurit. If anything, it may be one of the first areas that ever came under Jewish ownership. We're talking about long before Klal Yisrael ever gets into Eretz Yisrael. Talmidei Rav Sadia Gaon, Umochir Avi Imo Hayarosh Va'Av Legilad. Mochir was the head of he was the father or the mother of Gilad, and Gilad is the one who conquered Gilad. V'Yair tafas leGilad acharav. Yair came. Yair ben Menashe. He was the one who captured the plantations and called them Chavot Yair. Lefichach nikra al shem avi imo v'al shem anaklo shetavsu b'mei shil tanuto shel Yosef. Do you know when they conquered those lands? When did they conquer them originally? While they were growing up under the tutelage of Yosef. This pasuk that at the end of the Seder that says that the sons of Macher, the grandchildren of Yosef, Noldu al Kirke Yosef, it was while Yosef was still alive that they had already begun to establish themselves in the Golan. Blow your mind? Blew mine, I tell you that. Talmidim of Rav Saga Goyen, you don't just shunt that aside. Shoya Melech Haaretz, he was king of the land. The fact is that Yosef already had really become the ruler of the entire Middle East. It was a new Middle East in the days of Yosef. There was one man who really held his finger on the pulse of the economy of the whole Middle East. There was a man called Yosef. Everybody was beholden to him. His family could move in whichever way they wanted. And what they did was, they began hit Nachaluyot in the Gilad and in the Bashan. All as a result, we learn it all as a result of the fact that the Pasuk has to tell us that the children of Machir ben Menashe were raised on the lap of Yosef. And later on, Machir is going to be part of a half a tribe of Menashe that's going to be chosen by Moshe to live on, quote unquote, the other side of the Yarden, which is not really the other side of the Yarden. And by the way, I want to repeat that I pointed out that ultimately in Halacha, Kiddushat Haaretz applies to both sides of the Yarden, and that's why God tells Moshe, look to the east, the north, the south, and the west, because all four directions from where Moshe stands, all of them have the Halacha of Kiddushat Haaretz. And further, when Yosef and his brothers died, the end of Vayechi, v'nitchazku ha'umot, the nations around became strong. In other words, Mitzrayim went into decline, economic decline following the death of Yosef. So then already nations out of in the area of Mesopotamia conquered the Bashan and Gilad. Vayikhu Geshur Va'aram Shahuyugoyim V'tafsu et Chavot Yair. Nations up there conquered the lands that had already been settled by the children, the grandchildren of Yosef. So you know what it means? You know why Moshe goes to the that half a tribe of Menashe, those families? Because he knew that that was the land that they had already conquered 300 years earlier. He doesn't go to Ephraim. He doesn't go to all of Menashe. He goes to a number of families in Menashe. Those that the Torah points out to us at the end of Vayechi grew up on the lap of Yosef. Because they're the ones who had already designated that land for themselves. He's just giving them what was theirs all along. It wasn't a matter, so therefore it's no longer a matter of having to beg half a tribe of Menashe, do me a favor. The Israelis, Reuven and God, want to stay away from the epicenter of Eretz Israel. They want to stay away from this Hashlugin East Bank. I need somebody who's going to go for Shlichut to the other side of the Yarden. That's not the story at all. Reuven and God are in Eretz Israel. And that half tribe of Menashe that Yosef chooses is the half tribe of Menashe that have already staked their claim in the northern Gilad and the Bashan and the Golan all the way up to Har Hermon. All that he's doing is he's giving them that which they understood from the very beginning would be this. It's a whole different story. The whole thing is different. That's why the sons of Machir desired to live in the land of the Gilad, ubitufusat aviem, matnam moshelahem. And that which had already been taken by their father, and they had already had a hold on it years earlier, that's exactly what he gave them. He wasn't asking them to give up anything. They can do. They're just going back to where they always were and always wanted to be. this is a whole new way of looking at what's going on the other side of the Yarden. In number three, next, just the section in the middle, because the section in the middle is going to take us again to Parashat Vayechi. Maton titein lahem, give them. Give them the land. Watch, you'll see. Shenotlu be'eber ha'yardein, this is a medrash tanchuma. Shenotlu be'eber ha'yardein, ha'mizrachi, part of the family of Yosef had taken on the other side, the east side of the Yarden. The Korbul is Ne Yoshua Valaza, Beretz Canaan. They come to Yoshua and Alaza when they are already in Beretz Canaan, Shenema, but Tikravgo is Ne Alaza. Hakoin, Lufne Yoshua bin Nun, Lufne Hamasiyim, and they asked for their portion in Eretz Yisrael. Watch carefully what I have underlined. Va'af Yaakov Avinu Yada, Shenot Lot Mikan Umikan. This is the biggest chiddush of the world, the Medrash says. Yaakov already knew that Menashe and Ephraim, family of Yosef, is going to have a portion on one side and the other side. How did he know that? Shenema, in Parsha Vayechi, Yaakov gives a blessing to each one of his children. And he says in the blessing to Yosef, Bonot Tzo'ardo Alei Shur. The Pashat of Shav in the Pasuk is that the daughters of Mitzrayim climbed upon the walls in order to see Yosef. As Yosef would be riding by in his carriage, he was Yafei Toar V'Yafei Mare, he was very handsome. So Bonos Tzo'ardo Alei Shur. The daughters of Mitzrayim went upon the walls. The Medrash says a whole different pshat. Bonos Tzo'ardo Alei Shur Zahayardim. You know what Shur is? The wall. You know what the wall represents? The Yarden. The Yarden separates one side from the other. And more than that, what the Medrash really means is the Yarden is the wall before Moshe. Moshe can't cross the Yarden. Moshe wants to cross the Yarden, but he can't because there's a wall in his way. The bones of Yosef are going to cross the wall, but Moshe will not cross the wall. Zeh Yarden, these are the words of the Medrash. Zeh Yarden, Shenasa the Moshe Shur, it became a wall to Moshe. Shelo Yikonis Loretz, that he shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. V'am alo Yaakov li Yosef. But Yaakov says to Yosef, Benotecha notlot mikan umikan. Bonos, the daughters of Yosef, climbed Alei Shur upon this wall, and they were on both sides of the wall. If the wall is the Yarden, and Yaakov is saying to Yosef, your daughters are going to have shares on both sides. Why daughters? Because of Benot Tzlavcha, the daughters of Tzlavcha. You understand the pshat that the Medrash says in the Pasuk? That means that when Moshe ultimately has to make the decision, he doesn't have to go begging and looking for somebody, some fraya, who's going to be willing to stay on the other side of the Yarden. No such thing at all. He's going to find people. He has people who are indigenous to the Golan, to the Hermon, to the Bashan, to the northern Gilad. They had been there for years. They'd been there years earlier. They built it. They made it. They created it. A whole different picture. This is the Ramah HaSurid. These are the Syrian Heights. Ashanda and Acharba. Or as one former Prime Minister, Oliver Sholem, said, they're not one real estate. What do you mean real estate? We're talking most probably about what may be after Hebron and Be'er Sheva, the earliest settlement of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Now, in 3 minutes I won't do it, but I'm going to try and do it. I had said that the that ultimately both sides of the Yarden, except for two or three halachot, both sides of the Yarden have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, are part of Eretz Yisrael. Even the place where the Yarden is called Yarden, the only difference is being, yes, according to a Mishnah that says it's not described as Eretz Zavat Cholav Edvash, you don't bring Bikurim first fruits from there, and you can't build the Bet HaMikdash there. But in terms of its sanctity, in terms of its sanctity, it has the same Kedusha. And the sanctity becomes even more intense, because I had once said it in great detail in a shir. I just want to recall the words of Rav Soloveitchik. He says that there's a difference between what Yahushua, Moshe and Yahushua did, and what Ezra did hundreds of years later, 1,000 years later. Moshe and Yahushua entered Eretz Yisrael from the periphery. They entered from the outer limits, the outer boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Do you know how long it took until they finally made it to Yerushalayim? 400 years. Do you understand the whole period of Yahushua and the Shoftim and Shmuel and David? One of the last acts of David is when he buys the Har HaBayit from Aravna HaYevusi. 400 years until they make it to Yerushalayim. When Ezra comes back from Galut Bavel, from the Babylonian exile, he goes directly to Yerushalayim. They build the walls of Yerushalayim, they build the Bet HaMikdash, and then they move outward from the center to the periphery. Moshe and Yeshua started at the center, and it took 400 years until they came to the middle. Ezra came directly to the middle from there outward, which means the first sanctity of Eretz Yisrael was a sanctity of conquest that started from the periphery and ended with Yerushalayim. When Ezra comes in his days in order to establish the second Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the second sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, he begins with Yerushalayim, Beit HaMikdash, Kodesh Kodashim, and from there he moves outward, which means he takes the sanctity of Yerushalayim and extends it to all four corners of Eretz Yisrael, which means therefore going from the center out to the periphery. The Kedusha of Ezra is number one, a Kedusha of all of Eretz Yisrael, and number two, it is a Kedusha that is kitchol shato for its time and kitchol atot lavum for all time. So ultimately, in terms of the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, both sides of the Yarden are the same. As I say, a few halachas, difference in a few halachas, but everything else is the same. But the most important point of the whole shir was that the land of the Bashan and the Golan and the northern Gilad were never even considered part of Eivor HaYarden at any point, because Yarden, as the Gemara says in Becharos, is only from the Kinneret and south. Above that, it's all part of Eretz Yisrael proper. And where did it all start? It all started with, number one, the pasuk at the end of Parashat Vayechi, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren of Yosef, on his lap while he was still alive. And while he was still alive and he ruled over the entire Middle East, they had already gone out and staked their claim on the Bashan and the Golan. Nobody lived there. They didn't take land from anybody. They didn't take it from anybody. And they would go there from time to time, and they would settle in it. Nobody lived there now either. And that was the land. And of course, the Bonos Tzad, or Ale Shur, Shur is the Yarden. The daughters of Menashe are going to be on both sides of the Yarden. Yaakov already said it in his brachas to his children. Moshe knew it. So the natural thing was simply to tell Menashe, take that land which was always yours. And that's how they remain in the Golan and the Bashan. That's it.
Now that you have this map, where do these places are in the view which is given of it?
Oh God, I left that out. This is the proof to everything I was saying. Here, an epilogue. In Parashat Maaseh, when the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are listed, the land of Reuven and Gad is not mentioned at all, but the land of Menashe is. V'yotza v'tavitam lachem Gvul Kedma Mechatzad Einon Sfama V'yorat HaGvul Misfama Rivla Mekedem La'ayin V'yorat HaGvul Mochal Ketef Yam Kineret Kedma. The eastern side of the Kineret is considered part of Eretz Yisrael proper in Parshat Maaseh. The land of Reuben and God is not mentioned, but these two psukim right here. Thank you very much. Okay, that's it.